If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
And here we go, episode 24 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com. I am Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. My man to my right, Scott King from the publication known as The Red Eye. We are high atop the Tribune Tower, 7th floor, looking down on the beautiful Mag Mile. And today's a little bit of a rough day for Blackhawks fans, but I think we can take solace in the fact that they played well.
They did.
It was a goalie win for the St. Louis Blues. They take game one in round one here of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And just relax. Everybody take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. They've been in this situation before. They're quite familiar with the Blues. And, oh, yeah, you get Duncan Keith back for game two. Would have been nice to steal that game one without Duncan Keith. But it is what it is. Friday's a new day.
It is. We'll break it down, but I think there's a lot to be happy about, honestly. You'd like to steal that. It'd feel really good today if you did. Maybe be a very early exit this time for the Blues, but all you wanted to do going there was split. And like you said, they're going to get the reigning playoff MVP back in Duncan Keith. So a lot to be happy about. We'll break it down.
We'll get into the particulars here in just a little bit, as we've just mentioned. But first, you can follow him at Scott King Media on Twitter. I am at Jacobson Radio on Twitter. More importantly, our Facebook page. Facebook.com/BlackhawksCrazy. Also use the hashtag BlackhawksCrazy on Twitter. Forgot to mention that. Love your questions. Love comments. If you hate us, great. Tell us that. If you love us, great. But we like any sort of feedback that we can get. Subscribe on iTunes as well. Just search for Blackhawks Crazy. Other things that we're going to get into besides the game one loss to the Blues. Panarin. Get into his little thing he's got going on with his salary that you know a little bit more about because I don't have my notes in front of me.
Getting paid.
He's getting paid.
Getting the dough.
He's getting that dough, getting that dollars, and he's still really cheap, but he's getting a few bonuses along the way.
Could affect things, yeah.
Yeah, it could. We got a couple more roster moves that were made, very slight before the game, and not really shocking or anything, but we'll get into that. You have a great story in the Red Eye right now.
Thank you.
That highlights Patrick Kane and just the ridiculous season that he had, winning the Art Rose Trophy for most points in the league. It's not really – well, you do win it. You earn it.
Yeah.
But it's not one of those things where you get, like, elected. So
no,
if
you
have the most points in the league, you get it.
It's a weird award. Like, it'd be like if there's an Academy Award you got before the Academy Awards.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he gets it before all the other awards.
That's kind of what it's like. So we'll break down some numbers there. We'll get in a few first-round predictions. We want, you know, everybody's starting to get going here, and we can kind of give you who we think are going to win each and every series and who's going to move on to round two. We have fan questions, and then King's Keys. Game one last night. Corey Crawford looked great. He looked absolutely great, and there was times where I thought everybody was clicking. It was kind of frustrating to watch it because you're like on the edge of your seat. Like, what is something going to break? They go into overtime scoreless, and they end up losing in overtime 1-0. But they had so many opportunities, and that's what's frustrating. And you go 0-for-5 on the power play. You had a 5-on-3 situation. You had a power play where just to start the overtime. You had a power play to start the overtime. I mean, they're handing it to you, and they just couldn't take advantage.
I think you touched on it. I think the disappointment is in the quality chances not being capitalized on. I think they had 13 quality chances, times it could have gone in the net.
Is that a lot?
Yeah, I mean, it's a game you expected, though, between the Blues and the Hawks. Maybe even a little tighter. It was a very tight game, fast-paced, a lot of big hits. Obviously, the Blues winning there with 41 hits to the Hawks 24. And I thought it was funny, Hitchcock, after the game, said we need to hit him 70 times and we'll win. I don't think that's – he's a good coach, but I don't think that's the best strategy against the Blackhawks.
Well, we've seen that fail
exactly
numerous times when people try to get too physical, the Ducks last year.
Exactly. I was going to say your team, the Ducks.
It's your home team. The old team I used to cover for a couple of years.
Your homeboys.
Yeah, well, they'll blow it because they always blow it. It's the Ducks. They always implode in the playoffs. They're great in the regular season. They actually had a really slow start to the season this year.
Yeah,
not to get too off track here, but and then they got really, really hot. But Bruce Boudreau. He did it in Washington. He'll do it in Anaheim. They'll blow up again. So there was a point, too. One thing that stuck out to me when TVR was at the was at the point. I mean, he had a shot and an opportunity and just didn't take it. And I can't remember what period that was. Was it in the third period or was it overtime?
I don't remember. I watched last night. I started watching the game again this morning.
I did the same thing where, because I couldn't stay out for the whole game.
Well, it's hard too because they had five power plays.
Yeah.
I mean, those they couldn't capitalize on. Another issue for me were faceoffs. I think Taves and Kruger were at 44%. That's bad, and that's bad for them. Tavo's had trouble all year. They're 33%, not good. And the surprise was Shaw at 50%. He's actually been pretty good on faceoffs this year. So you're going to need to possess the puck and to generate some chances and score on those chances in a series like this. And like we were just talking about with the Ducks, just like the Blues, they can't just try to hit the Hawks. So if that's their mentality, if that's how they're being coached, this still might end up being a short series for them. I know it's early, but you got to do a lot more. That if that was their best effort, you know, the 41 hits and sometimes dictating the pace, but shutting down Kane and Panarin, if that's all they're going to do, they're going to have a lot of trouble when Keith comes back and he's joining the rush. And he's a guy who won the Conn Smythe last year, and he can be effective in so many areas.
He's pretty good at hockey.
I think he is. So
Duncan Keith? Duncan Keith.
Keth? Is it Keth?
Keith or Keth, yeah. But I hear he's pretty good. So that obviously that'll be a big boost. And what you all you can ask for and he said it earlier in the week on the show that I produce in the morning, the Steve Cochran Show. We have him on every week. Coach Q said, if we get a split out of this, great. So you lost. You lost yesterday.
A close one, too. It could have gone either
one.
Way.
The only thing that worries me, if you're a Blackhawks fan out there, the only thing that might be a little bit concerning when you lose a game where the team played pretty well, Corey Crawford played great, and you lose in overtime in kind of a deflating fashion, does that linger? That's the only thing. That's the only thing that might be a little
Be. You just have to see how game two plays out. Again, all you want to do when you're starting on the road is split, and I think Keith's going to be huge because he's been resting this whole time. Was he gotten like 2 weeks of rest?
No.
You have Crawford looking. I thought he had laser sharp focus. I thought his positioning was great. He just looked poised. All I was thinking when I was watching him is poised and confident and focused. I think him looking that good early on, like it's deep in the playoffs, because he got a little bit of a rest. You know, whatever his upper body injury was, it looks like he's over it and he's well rested. So, I mean, how huge are goalies in the playoffs? And he's already playing with that kind of confidence.
I'm drinking coffee right now for those that are listening, and I hope you can't hear me slurping because I can hear it in my headphones.
I can't.
That's good. So if you can hear it, I'm sorry, and I'm going to stop doing that. So I'm just going to put that off to the side.
That's all right. People can complain if they want.
A little side story for us, but not a side story for the man I'm just about to talk about. Andrew Ladd last night. He just made it in time for the game. His wife goes into labor in Chicago. Now, luckily, you know, the game's in St. Louis where he was able to make it. I mean, if that game's in Dallas.
Oh, my God.
You're not making it.
Oh, my God.
So he just did get it there on time, and obviously his head's all over the place. So that was an interesting story to lead into it. And, you know, Pat Boyle from CSN Chicago, he kind of broke the story on Twitter saying, you know, that he is en route and that he will be there on time.
I mean, lucky. 42-minute flight. Wife was in labor. He somehow makes it there. And I thought he was effective. I have to be honest and fess up to my wrong prediction of Ladd getting 2 to 3 goals last night because his wife was in labor. I said that on a download. But he was effective. I mean, how many big hits did he have? He looked hungry. Yeah. He looked happy to be out there with the team.
It's weird when you got that sort of adrenaline rush going.
I guess it's because the baby wasn't born yet.
Yeah, maybe.
I was counting on baby luck, but actually.
If little laddie.
Labor luck is not quite as good as baby luck. Labor luck, you'll get some big hits and you'll be noticeable. Baby luck, you'll get a hat trick.
Never thought labor luck would make it into the podcast.
It should be the name of this episode.
Maybe. See if they would. That would have been good if it was 1-0. They win in overtime. And again, this is what happens when you work in radio. It's very ADD.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. And there's a huge bodybuilder on Maury now. I just pointed out to Mike.
We've got Maury Povejon in the studio on these massive screens.
Because we always have WGN on in here.
And that's what you get when you turn into a WGN TV during the day.
I know what my nightmare is tonight.
Yeah, this guy is really creeping me out. WGNRadio.com. That is where you hear this podcast, the Blackhawk Crazy Podcast. I'm Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the Red Eye, and I want to get into what is in the Red Eye. Just came out the other day. Was it yesterday? It was yesterday or Tuesday.
Part of the cover story yesterday.
Great story on Kane and just the just phenomenal season that he's had, and obviously coming overcoming a lot in the summer and just staying laser focused. And you know, he wins the Art Ross Trophy. You know, he gets over 100 points. Was he right on 100 points? That's terrible. I should know that.
Did he finish with?
Yeah.
He finished with 106.
106.
So, I mean, I remember there was like four games to go, and he wasn't quite at 100, I believe, and he wound up getting 106.
Because he got the hat trick.
He got the hat trick to 100, yeah.
Yeah, he got the hat trick, and that was against the Bruins. National TV, that was on a Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Sunday during the day. I remember that. All right. Again, sorry. Brain's a little scrambled. So
it's okay.
He ends up with 106 points. He's the first American in history to do that.
To win a scoring title.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool. And he was the first to get over 100 points since Jeremy Roenick in 93-94 for the Blackhawks organization.
First American in 20 years to just get to 100.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So, you know, just kind of talk about the story a little bit. I know you actually literally talked to him.
Yeah. No, it was great. I got to speak with Kane the morning skate before their last home game against the Blues, actually, on April 7th. And I just kind of got him to reflect on his childhood, going to games in Buffalo. His dad had season tickets. I think they had three tickets, and he would sit on the glass. He said they would play with the mini sticks in the hallway at the arena. And I asked, what's mini sticks?
Shinny sticks.
Shinny sticks.
That's what you call them, because you're on your shin. Shinny sticks.
I think he said minis.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe it's a Buffalo thing.
Could be.
But he, I guess a question I had for him, that sometimes you think of a question, it's going to be more interesting than it really is. I asked him if he was, when he was a kid, if he had, just because of what he achieved this year, how crazy it's been, and all the cups and Conn Smythe and everything. Mm-hmm. I just asked him if he was a kid, when he was going to games around that time. I think he was like maybe 8 through 12, the couple years that he went. Said he went to 20 games a year. I asked him when he was little then, and he would watch the Sabres play, if he had goals to, if he was thinking about getting the NHL, if he was wondering what it would be like to win a cup. And he said it was all just about going and having fun at that time, which I thought was interesting. And that's kind of how it should be when you're a kid, just enjoying the sport. And maybe that's why we see him still having fun now and being so productive. Also, for the story, I talked to Savard. I got a phone call with Savard.
Denny!
To talk about Kane. And
Savvy.
That maybe was a little bit of a, caused a little bit of a stir and controversy on Twitter with the story, because we used kind of a Kane-Gretzky comparison in the headline.
Yeah.
Savard said, look, when it's all said and done, Kane's going to be the Gretzky of this era. And I think some people took that for a direct comparison in skill and achievements.
Mm-hmm.
But Savard was just saying that in his day when he played, the guy is Gretzky, that generation. And this one is going
to
be Kane.
Yeah, it's a new crop. I mean, that makes sense.
Exactly.
To me.
Also, got McDonough. Another interesting point about Kane is, as good as he is now, he thinks that he's still going to get better and has room to grow. And he had some other great quotes in there. So you can check that out on our Facebook page.
There you go. Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. You can also go to the Red Eye on Twitter. They've tweeted it out. If you just go through their time feed, we've retweeted it on WGN's Twitter feed, and also at Scott King Media. You can catch it out there. It's well worth it. You
Thank
did a
you.
Very good job. With
Thank
that,
you. I'm man. Growing this pathetic beard for Red Eye too.
Oh yeah,
this is day two.
Yeah, we talked about it. So for those of you that are just tuning in now and did not tune in last week, first off, catch up. Secondly, you are doing the beard off.
Yeah.
They call it in the Red Eye, and what is it? Two sports writers?
Me. This year it's me and photographer, Red Eye photographer. He shot a bunch of great things for Red Eye over the years, but he shot that cover story I did on Shaw last year. It's
okay.
A great, funny picture of Shaw. But we're taking on Desjardins and Weiss.
So you guys are growing out beards.
We're trying to.
Trying to grow. You're in day two, and you've got some scruff going.
Yeah, I'm okay. My scruff's a little ahead of schedule, I'll admit. I'm a little happy with it.
That's good.
But Desjardins, just seeing the beard he had at the final last year, I think I'm going to get crushed.
Yeah,
it's
going to
be embarrassing.
Who knows? Who knows, man? Hey, you got to keep the faith, bro.
I will keep the
faith. Keep the faith, bro. So that'll be fun to kind of – so if you check out your Red Eye, you can kind of see the evolution of a beard.
We'll throw it on Twitter and Facebook.
Of Scott King. Yeah, we'll throw it on the Twitter, too, in the old Facebook. Social media, I guess it's pretty big nowadays.
You got to be on it if you want to know what's going on. If you want to have your finger on the pulse of the universe.
It's sometimes Twitter is exhausting, though.
It is.
Particularly in this profession, if you're a reporter, if you're on the air, if you're a producer, because it's just nonstop, or you have to constantly be checking things.
Especially
constantly.
If you just follow all the housewives.
But seriously though, like, it's tough. I mean, like, it gets to a point, and I'm not saying I don't love what I do, but it's like there's you have to keep up with so much now, it's like overwhelming.
It's like a therapy session with you discussing social media and the impact it's having on your life.
It's a little tough. It's caused sleepless
nights.
Why don't you just
disconnect? Why don't you just shut it down for a couple of days? I know you got to be up on everything, producing shows and doing shows here.
See,
but
I'm not a big Twitter guy. I don't personally tweet a lot.
When are we going to get you on Facebook too? You got to get over this.
I know. I was on Facebook when I was in college.
How am I supposed to?
I graduated in 2007.
How am I supposed to poke you or show you pictures of my baby, Mike, if you're not on Facebook?
You can poke me right now.
I could.
And you can show me pictures right now.
That's true. You guys, just wait right there. We're going to do it. We'll be right back.
Artemi Panarin. They call him the bread man.
He's making it.
He's making that dollar. He's making that dollar. 2.575 million. He's ninth in points. He made his bonus. What does this mean for next year's roster?
He hit a couple of the check marks on his contract for the bonus. I think one might have been 30 goals. I know one was finishing in top 10 in points, Michael, but he wound up getting over 2.5 mil. It was 2.575 million. And, I mean, you know, I don't want to say it. You never know how they can pull strings and who they can get and mm-hmm. who they can keep for next year. But I think it could be fair to say you might not see Andrew Shaw in the locker room next year. And that's a guy that
a lot of people thought he might have been a trade bait this year.
He's a guy who's always gotten brought up because, look, he's got some skill. He's a banger. He you know, will take a lot of abuse in front of the net. He'll dish it out in the corner on the boards. He wins battles. Look at how good he's been for the Hawks, and he can be that good on any team. Mm-hmm. You'll probably see him play top six on another team if he goes to another team. So it'll be a terrible guy to lose, and you know, it's not – the writing's not on the wall yet, but it's something that could happen with his contract and him being up for a new one.
So there you go. A couple quick notes on the breadman and the roster situation there. A few more roster moves before we get into our predictions for the first round across the NHL. Brian Bickle gets sent down. Rasmussen gets sent down. They bring back up Rundblad. Not terribly shocking, right?
No, I guess even though he came back from being overseas, as you would say, I guess that you kind of didn't.
Yeah, that weird deportation thing that they did with Rundblad.
Yeah, don't
that
write.
That was so weird.
Don't write. We're going to send you somewhere.
Yeah, that's a weird move.
Even though he's not consistent, he did win a cup, and they did call on him a lot last year. But I guess I didn't see him being recalled. But even as Quinville always says, you can never have enough defensemen when you're in a Stanley Cup playoffs. So it makes sense, him coming back. Probably not going to see a lot of minutes, if any. Unless maybe somebody goes down, but I understand
it's an insurance thing
being recalled. Yeah,
that's all. That's all. So we're going to get into our first round predictions right here, and we're going to go through these rapid fire. All right. So I'm just going to say, boom, boom. You say how many games, who wins? All right. You ready?
Yes.
You don't sound too enthusiastic about the predictions.
I was just looking at them, to make sure they haven't changed. And some of these one game has been played already. But I picked these before they started yesterday.
Luckily, I have been a scout, so we're covered either way. That's not true. I never understood the whole scout thing and doing the whole boy.
That's
scout
a whole nother
thing.
Episode. Don't get me started.
Wasn't my deal. Was not my deal. Either that or fraternities, and we've talked about fraternities before. Don't believe in paying for friends. Hawks and Blues, obviously going to start with that. I say the Hawks and six.
I agree with you.
Hawks and six?
Hawks and six.
Wow.
Bow on it.
There you go. Stars, Wild. You first this time.
Wild and six.
You're going Wild.
I'm sticking, even though Parisi's probably going to still be out for a while, I'm sticking to my earlier choice. I think Stars' defense and goaltending is questionable. I think they had a good regular season, and they don't quite have the playoff experience for a while now.
That's an upset pick there. They're one of the hotter teams. I mean, they really found their offense. Once they got rid of Mike Yeo, they really found
Torchetti
their
really
offense.
Really got them going.
Torchetti definitely lit a fire on their
I think you
ass.
Could see that again here.
There's no question. So you're going with the Wild in six. I'm going to go with the Stars in six.
Okay.
So I think the Stars.
This is all official, Mike. You can't take these back.
I won't. Preds, Ducks. I am going with the Ducks. I think they will win this first round series, and I say they win it in five.
I'll go longer series. I'll go Ducks in seven.
Ducks in seven? They do play a lot of game sevens, the Ducks, in the playoffs.
Preds got the Hawks to six last year.
That's true. Preds aren't an easy team. They're not an easy out. So I think that's one of the better matchups in the West. Actually.
It'll be fun to watch, yeah.
It'll be good. It'll be as it progresses here. And then finally, to wrap up the West, we'll go Kings-Sharks.
Kings in five.
Kings in five. I'm going to go with Kings in five, too.
All right.
That's exactly what
Way
I thought.
Way to be original.
No, I did. That's what I thought. I think that... The Sharks, I just don't really have a lot of belief in them. And I don't,
I don't either.
And it's not like I've seen a lot of Sharks hockey, because I'd be lying if I said I did, because I don't own the NHL package. I used to, or anything like that. I'm not staying up till midnight every weekday and watching Sharks hockey because of the West Coast thing. But I just believe in the Kings a little bit more, at least everything I've read
I
about
just
them.
I think they're head and shoulders above them. They're a much better team,
and
especially in the West.
Mostly just because I want to hear Daryl Sutter talk for the rest of the year.
Or not talk. It depends on how he wants to act.
He's something else, that guy. You get the puck.
He's very sarcastic. I like when he really, really sticks it to a reporter.
Oh, yeah. He's something else. He's something else. And I remember asking him a question. I think we've talked about that before, and he just... Yeah. Did not like my question, so let's just leave it at that.
At least you got to say you asked him one. That's awesome.
And we go to the East now, the Caps and Flyers. I'm going Caps and five.
Caps and five here. I'm not original. I agree.
It's a red-hot team right now, and I think finally, since they don't have Bruce Boudreau on the bench, maybe they'll get over the hump.
I think not
They've
only—
They've been just so hot this year. Entire season.
No matter who they played, really, and they had that consistency the whole season. Ovechkin's really playing both sides of the puck. Holtby, the best goalie in the league this year. I think not only do they get over the hump, I think they're going to be in a Stanley Cup final, the Capitals.
Pens and Rangers.
Pens in six.
I'm going Pens in seven. That's a good matchup, though. I do. I think that's a really good matchup. Panthers and Islanders as we wrap up things here, because we're going to get kicked out of the studio. I always say that, but as a producer, like, you're always looking at the
clock. You're nervous.
So, and I don't want to screw the download.
You think you're going to get the hook like at Showtime at the Apollo? The guy's going to hook you right out of here.
Yeah, well, you want to be courteous to your other producer/host that are reserving the studio time, because I know it's frustrating when I come to record something and people are in here because they're running late.
All right, Islanders, Panthers.
Islanders, Panthers.
I'll go Islanders in six.
Islanders in six. I'll go Panthers in seven.
Okay.
My boy Soupy. We'll do it for him. And Bolts and Wings. I will go with the Bolts.
Bolts in five.
Bolts in five. I'll agree with you there. I forgot to give a game. I did. That's the only one I didn't really actually do a prediction for.
But you did.
So Bolts in five.
All right. There's
How
your prediction.
That? That's a hot take.
All right. Now we got to have some kind of competition. Who picks more right? Gets a bowl of soup or something.
It's a good point.
Yeah. Some spaghetti.
Some good soup down here in the Tribune Tower. Tribune Tower. They got some good food down in that cafeteria. Good cup of soup. Had tomato.
I wouldn't know. No one's ever invited me to the cafeteria. No one's ever said, hey, you want a treat? Go to the cafeteria. It's on us.
You're not. Well, it's not on us. I have to pay for it, too. It's not like it's free.
All I'm saying is I want someone really important here to treat me to soup in the cafeteria.
Well, I'm sure Steve Bertrand or some of the news team's ready.
Talk to Cochran for me.
Yeah,
he's a guy
sure.
I'd like to have soup with and talk about how to do radio.
Soup and a sandwich. How about that? That'll be fun. All right, we'll get to the King's Keys right now. Do you even have any? I didn't even ask you.
I do.
And then we'll get into one quick question.
Two kind of short ones. We talked about them a little. They were pretty obvious when you break things down. I think on a power play going 0 for 5, you need more shots on a power play. So key number one, more shots on the power play. They had very few rebounds, not just on the power play, but on 5-on-5, and especially when you're on the man advantage, you need to get some rebounds to put away there. Key number two, faceoffs. Got to do better on faceoffs. Have to win more draws. I broke down the percentages earlier. They just have to be better on the dot.
Power play, you got to put the puck on the net. It's that
simple. Shoot.
You got the numbers. You have the numbers, so the more shots you put on net, more chances you have.
It's simple math. Really.
I know that's kind of crazy. I know. This is breaking hockey news here.
Yes.
Oh, but when you got 5-on-3 in a nothing-nothing game without your best defenseman, and you could actually stole that game, that would have been nice.
They had some chances, and I think you point out before the show they had an advantage in overtime too. They had a 4-on-3
just to start, right to start. It was seconds into overtime.
So you have that or the 5-on-3, let alone the other 2-3 power plays. You got to find a way to get one in. Get a screen in front of the net.
It's on a platter. Get your knife and fork and dig in. Fan question. Jacob Thomas. This comes from him. How long, in parentheses, on average, do you think it takes a team to hit the reset button and start from scratch? Trade away any skilled veterans, making too much for draft picks?
I like
so Jacob's, he's basically already looking ahead to next year.
He's like
saying that, all right, the cap's going to be a mess again. When do you start selling off some of your veteran assets and trying to look younger and acquiring something for those veteran assets.
No, I like this question because this is something they kind of had to deal with this year, too.
Well,
of course
you like the question. You picked it out.
I did. I picked it from a hat. No, I just think they had obviously cap trouble kind of this year. I mean, you had to trade away Brandon Saad is what Stan Bowman did or thought he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know, maybe his agent's putting a squeeze on him, but you had to make room for guys this year, and you had a lot of moving parts. This was a rebuild year. So when you get Ladd coming in and Fleischman and Weiss, don't forget Ehrhoff.
No.
I think it took the Hawks a few weeks to mesh with these new guys and to gel a little bit. And I don't think it was the acquisitions. I think those guys found their stride right away and started to contribute and trend up almost immediately. They wanted to fit in here. I think it was the top six guys kind of had to dial it back in and get their hockey going again because it wasn't that good for a while.
Yeah, I agree. Put a bow on it.
Done.
Episode 24 in the books. This is called the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. You've been listening to for Scott King from the Red Eye at Scott King Media on Twitter at Scott King Media.
Yes,
there
sir.
We go. I'm Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio at Jacobson Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. Comments, questions, concerns there. See you next week.